Good evening and welcome to Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church. Today is Good Friday, the day that our Lord suffered and died on Calvary's cross to take away all our sins. For the service that we have planned today, we will have some devotions from some of the people involved in Jesus' passion, and then we'll see how willingly our Savior went to the cross, full of love, in order to save me and to save you. We'll follow the order of service printed out in the bulletin, beginning with our opening hymn, O Sacred Head Now Wounded, where the first four stanzas talk about all the pain and suffering Jesus is enduring for us. And then the last three verses, we rejoice in that he's enduring this suffering for us in order to save us. May God bless our service here this evening. We pray, God most holy, look with mercy on this, your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed, be given over into the hands of the wicked, and suffer death upon the cross. Keep us always faithful to him, our only Savior, who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson on this Good Friday is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 52 and 53, where 700 years before Good Friday, Isaiah prophesies exactly what was going to happen to our Savior Jesus so that we could be saved from our sins. Look, my servant will succeed. He will rise. He will be lifted up. He will be highly exalted. Just as many were appalled at him, for his appearance was so disfigured that he did not look like a man, and his form was disfigured more than any other person. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him, because they will see something they had never been told, and they will understand something they had never heard. For who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root from dry ground. He had no attractiveness and no majesty. When we saw him, nothing about his appearance made us desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man who knew grief, who was well acquainted with suffering. Like someone whom people cannot bear to look at, he was despised, and we thought nothing of him. Surely he was taking up our weaknesses, and he was carrying our sufferings. We thought it was because of God that he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. But it was because of our rebellion that he was pierced. He was crushed for the guilt our sins deserve. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all have gone astray like sheep. Each of us turned to his own way. But the Lord charged all our guilt to him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. And like a sheep that is silent in front of its shears, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away without a fair trial and without justice, and of his generation, who even cared? So he was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of the rebellion of my people. They would have assigned him a grave with the wicked, but he was given a grave with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. And no deceit was in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to allow him to suffer. Because you made his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the Lord's gracious plan will succeed in his hand. After his soul experiences anguish, he will see the light of life. He will provide satisfaction. Through their knowledge of him, my just servant will justify the many, for he himself carried their guilt. Therefore, I will give him an allotment among the great, and with the strong he will share plunder, because he poured out his life to death, and he let himself be counted with the rebellious sinners. He himself carried the sin of many, and he intercedes for the rebels. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Choir will sing the song.
Thank you.
As we observe our Lord's suffering and death on this Good Friday, we hear the Passion account, we hear all that our Lord endured in his suffering and death, and then hearing some devotions based on the perspective of the people involved. The first devotion is based on Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, who denied him three times. We read from Matthew 26. Then Jesus said to them, "This night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter answered him, "Even if all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Amen, I tell you, tonight before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Later that evening, after Jesus was arrested, Peter was sitting outside the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You are also with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it in front of everyone, saying, "I don't know what you are talking about." When Peter went out to the entryway, someone else saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it with an oath and said, "I do not know the man." After a little while, those who stood by came and said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, because even your accent gives you away." Then he began to curse and to swear, "I do not know the man." Just then, the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
How could I? How could I do it? How could I deny knowing Jesus? I really meant it when I told Jesus that even if all fall away, I never will. I really thought I would be able to stand by Jesus' side no matter what happened to him. But when I saw Jesus arrested by all those wicked men, when I saw Jesus standing trial before the high priest, I was afraid. I was afraid that if I admitted to knowing Jesus, they would arrest me, put me on trial, and maybe even kill me. That's why I denied knowing Jesus three times in that courtyard. It was out of fear to save my own skin. You've all been there before, right? Maybe you haven't said, "I don't know Jesus." Maybe you haven't called down curses on yourself or swore to others that you don't know who Jesus is. But has there been a time where you've had an opportunity to confess your faith in Jesus, but out of fear, you remain silent? Has there been a time where you didn't act like a disciple of Christ because you were afraid and wanted to save your own skin? That was me in the courtyard when I denied Jesus. So how could I? How could I do it? How could I deny knowing Jesus? I was afraid and wanted to save myself.
We join together in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that there are times that I have given in to pressure and fear, times where I have denied knowing you. Sometimes this denial comes from what I say, and sometimes this denial comes by remaining silent instead of speaking up. Forgive me, restore me, and use me to proclaim your name. I pray this in your name because you died for me. Amen. The second person we're focusing on is Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' disciples who betrayed him. Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, Judas was looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. As they were eating, he said, "Amen, I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He replied, "The one who dipped his hand in the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man is going just as it is written about him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who betrayed him, replied, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He said to him, "Yes, you are the one." Later in the evening, while Jesus was still speaking, suddenly Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs who had come from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Immediately he went to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, why are you here?" Then they advanced, took hold of Jesus, and arrested him. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and elders of the people reached the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he felt remorse. He brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders and said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? That's your problem." He threw the pieces of silver into the temple and left. Then he went out and hanged himself. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
How could I? How could I do it? How could I betray Jesus? I really did enjoy my time with Jesus. For 3 years, I followed him everywhere. I was amazed by his great power. He could heal the sick, feed the hungry, and even calm down the wind and the waves. But I was hoping that he would use his power. I was hoping he would use his great power to fix my problems here on earth. I was hoping that he would make my life prosperous. But he did not do that. Instead, he kept talking about being humble, being content, and looking forward to the glory of heaven. I wondered how all those things would help me here and now as I lived on earth. So when the chief priests offered me 30 silver coins to betray Jesus, I took their offer. I was greedy, and I took the 30 silver coins, since they would help me with my life here on earth right away. I know you have all been there before. I know there have been times you have been greedy and focused on the things of this world. I know there have been times that you have preferred Jesus to be an earthly savior who fixes all your problems on earth. That was me when I betrayed Jesus. So, how could I? How could I do it? How could I betray Jesus? I was greedy, and I was focused on the things of this world.
We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that every time I sin, I am betraying you. Like Judas, my focus is all too often on the things of this world, and I am filled with greed. Forgive me, restore me, and may I never be led to despair over my sins as Judas was, but may I always find hope in you. I pray this in your name, because you died for me. Amen. Our next person is Caiaphas, the high priest, who rejected Jesus. Those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the experts in the law and the elders were assembled. Peter was following him at a distance and went as far as the courtyard of the high priest. He went inside and sat down with the guards to see how it would turn out. The chief priest and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they could put him to death. They found none, even though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said to him, "Have you no answer? What is this that these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I place you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you have said. But I tell you, soon you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? See, you have just heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered, "He is deserving of death." Then they spit in his face and punched him. Someone slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pretty soon, it became clear that his teaching was not in line with what I wanted to teach the Jews. After all, he wasn't focusing on our Jewish traditions, but he was proclaiming to be the Son of God. He was proclaiming to be the promised Messiah. He was proclaiming to be the one who would fulfill Scripture and save Israel. That teaching was complete foolishness to my mind. Look at him. He's the son of a carpenter from Nazareth. How could he be the Son of God? I know that you can relate. I know that you have heard a teaching from Jesus that seemed foolish to your mind. Do you always obey the commands of God? Or do you sometimes do what you want to do, thinking that your ways are better than God's ways? Do you always trust in the promises of God? Or do you sometimes doubt God's promises because they seem contrary to what you're seeing with your eyes? That was me when I rejected Jesus. So, how could I do it? How could I reject Jesus? I just didn't trust what he said, because what he said seemed foolish to me.
Pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that there are times that I have rejected you. There are times where I have rejected your word and sinned, and there are times where I have rejected your promises and doubted. forgive me, restore me, and instill in me a strong faith that always clings to you. I pray this in your name because you died for me. Amen. We next hear of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor who condemned Jesus to death. When Jesus stood in the presence of the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." When he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Pilate said to him, "Don't you hear how many things they are testifying against you?" But he did not answer him, not even one word, so that the governor was very surprised. At the time of the festival, the governor had a custom to release to the crowd any one prisoner they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. So when they were assembled, Pilate said to them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For Pilate knew that they handed Jesus over to him because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, Pilate's wife sent him a message. "Have nothing to do with that righteous man," she said, "since I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus put to death. The governor asked them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" "Barabbas," they said. Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Crucify him." But the governor said, "Why? What has he done wrong?" But they kept shouting even louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, and that instead it was turning into a riot, he took water, washed his hands in front of the crowd, and said, "I am innocent of this righteous man's blood. It is your responsibility." And all the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
How could I? How could I do it? How could I condemn Jesus? I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to condemn Jesus. I wanted to set him free. Don't you see how I tried to do it? I told the crowd that I saw no basis for a charge against him. I tried to release him, but they chose Barabbas. My wife came to me and told me to have nothing to do with him. And in the end, I even washed my hands of him to try to show everyone that I had nothing to do with it. But the crowd kept pressuring me. They kept shouting at me. I feared I might have a riot on my hands. So finally, I gave in to the crowd, even though I knew it was wrong. I finally gave in to all the peer pressure and condemned Jesus to death. You have all been there before, right? Can you think of a time that you did something wrong just to appease those around you? Can you think of a time that you gave in to peer pressure and did something that you didn't want to do just to make those around you happy? That was me when I condemned Jesus to death. So how could I? How could I do it? How could I condemn Jesus? I just wanted to make the crowd happy, so I gave in to their pressure, even though I knew it was wrong.
We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that there are times that I don't stand up for what is right. There are times that I just follow along with the crowd and give in to peer pressure, even if I am condemning someone else. Forgive me, restore me, and help me not to try to please the crowds, but to always try to please you. I pray this in your name. Because you died for me. Amen. We continue with one of the soldiers who was beating Jesus. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, knelt in front of him, and mocked him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit on him, took the staff, and hit him repeatedly on his head. And after they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him, and then led him away to crucify him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
How could I? How could I do it? How could I beat Jesus? Really, I was just doing my job. My job as a soldier is to keep the peace. And I don't even care what I have to do to keep the peace. If I have to beat someone, that's what I'll do. If I have to torture someone, that's what I'll do. If I have to set a public example of someone, that's what I'll do. The only way that I as a soldier can keep the peace is if I control the people. It is if I show my dominance over people. That's ultimately why I beat Jesus. I didn't want others to cause a disturbance like he was doing. So by making a public example of him, I was simply making sure that no other Jew would cause me problems. It's what was best for me as I did my job. I think you can relate. You often think of yourself first. You often want to control people and make things easy for you. And I know that you don't always act with others' best interests in mind, but a lot of times you are just doing what's best for you, even if you have to hurt others. That was me when I beat Egypt, when I beat Jesus. So how could I do it? How could I do it? How could I beat Jesus? I wanted to control the people and do what was best for me.
Pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that there are times that I have acted in my best interest, times where I put myself ahead of others and ahead of you. Forgive me, restore me, and help me always show love to you and to all who are in need. I pray this in your name because you died for me. Amen. We next look at one of the chief priests who was mocking Jesus as he hung on the cross. As they were going out of the city, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon. They forced him to carry Jesus' cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. After they crucified him, they divided his clothing among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down and were keeping watch over him there. Above his head, they posted the written charge against him. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At the same time, two criminals were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. People who passed by kept insulting him, shaking their heads and saying, "You, who were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, experts in the law, and elders kept mocking him. They said, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. If he's the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, because he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, even the criminals who were crucified with him kept insulting him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
How could I? How could I do it? How could I mock Jesus? Jesus made my life so difficult. He preached more with more authority and wisdom than I could. He did powerful miracles that I couldn't explain. Because he was doing those things, the people were following him. The people were listening to him. That means the people weren't following or listening to me. On top of that, Jesus didn't seem to learn his lesson. Even after we arrested him and convinced Pilate to crucify him, he still claimed that he could forgive sins. He forgave the sins of one of the criminals hanging on the cross and promised to take him to paradise. Will he ever stop teaching? Will he ever stop trying to get the crowds to follow him? So I had to mock him and hurl insults at him. Maybe if I put him down enough, the crowd, who was watching this crucifixion, would see how foolish he is and begin to follow me instead of him. I know you have been there before. I know you have put others down in order to try to build yourself up. I know you have mocked and hurled insults at someone, all in an effort to try to get people to like you more than someone else. That was me when I mocked Jesus. So how could I? How could I do it? How could I mock Jesus? I wanted to put him down so that others would like me more.
We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that there are times that I try to build myself up. There are times that I put others down so that I can feel good about who I am. Forgive me, restore me, and may everything that comes from my lips give glory and praise to you. I pray this in your name because you died for me. Amen. We hear of our Savior's crucifixion. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "This fellow is calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran, took a sponge, and soaked it with sour wine. Then he put it on a stick and gave him a drink. The rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." After Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Suddenly, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. Tombs were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised to life. Those who came out of the tombs went into the holy city after Jesus' resurrection and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were guarding Jesus with him saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Many women who had followed Jesus from Galilee and who had served him were there, watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How could I? How could I do it? How could I hang on a cross? How could I endure all that pain and suffering? How could I give up my life? You know the power that I possess, right? You know the miracles that I did. You know that I once fed 5,000 men with just 5 loaves and 2 fish, and there were 12 basketfuls left over. You know how I calmed the wind and the waves. You know how I said, quiet, be still. And the wind immediately stopped. The sea became like glass. You know how I raised the dead. You know how I took Jairus' daughter by the hand. You know how I spoke to Lazarus 4 days after he was in the tomb. 4 days. And I said, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. And that's not even mentioning all the people that I healed from various diseases, all the demons that I drove out. And so I have the power to save myself. I have the power to come down from this cross. I have the power to stop all this pain and suffering. I have the power to keep my life. I can save myself. So why am I not using that power? It's because of you. You see, I know you. I know that you're a sinner. I know that there are times that you have denied me, like Peter, by not boldly confessing my name when given an opportunity. I know there are times you have betrayed me, like Judas, by being greedy and thinking that the things of this world are what is most important. I know there are times that you have rejected me, like Caiaphas, because you haven't trusted in my word and in my promise and instead become afraid or worried. I know that there are times that you condemn me like Pilate because you don't stand up for what you know is right. I know there is times that you beat me like a soldier because you cared first and foremost for yourself rather than for others. And I know that there are times that you mocked me like a chief priest, because you wanted to control people. And you wanted it to put others down so that you could be lifted up. I know that you have done all those things. And I know that you will continue to do all those things. For I know who you are. I know that you are a sinner. You always have been a sinner. And you always will be a sinner. And so I know that you will keep sinning day after day after day. And so how could I? How could I do it? How could I stay on the cross for you, a sinner? How could I endure all this pain and suffering for you, a sinner? How could I give up my life for you, a sinner? In a word, love. I love you. I love you, and I want to forgive you. I love you, and I want you to be saved. I love you, and I want you to be with me for all eternity in heaven. And so I am hanging on this cross willingly for you. I'm hanging on this cross so that I can shed my blood for you, my blood which will cover up all of your sins, including the times that you denied me like Peter or betrayed me like Judas. And I am enduring all this pain and suffering willingly for you. I'm enduring all this pain and suffering so that you will not have to endure any pain and suffering when you leave this world, even though you have rejected me like Caiaphas or condemned me like Pilate. And I am willingly giving up my life for you. I am giving up my life for you so that you can live forever in peace, even though there are times that you have beat me like a soldier or mocked me like a chief priest. Yes, everything I am doing for you because I love you and I want to forgive you. And so, dear Christian, when you sin, and you will sin, whether it's one of the sins that we've been focusing on today or some other sin that plagues your conscience, when you sin, dear Christian, look at me. Look at what I am doing for you. Look at me hanging on a cross, enduring all this pain, and giving up my life for you. See the blood that is dripping out of my hands and the feet where nails were pounded into them. See the blood that is pouring out of my head since a crown of thorns was pressed into my skull. See me suffering. More pain than you can even imagine, because it's not just the physical pain, but I am being forsaken by my Father in heaven. I'm suffering the full wrath of God for you. It's why I cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is all for you. This is to forgive all your sins. I'm doing all this because I love you and I want you to be with me forever in heaven. And so it doesn't matter what the sin is. It doesn't matter if you committed this sin once or many times. It doesn't matter if you think it's a big sin or a small sin. It doesn't matter if it's a sin that no one knows about or if it's a sin that harmed many people. Regardless of what the sin is, every single sin that you have ever committed, and I do mean that, every single sin that you have ever committed is on me right now. They are on my shoulders. All your sins are on my shoulders, and I am paying for them in full. I'm hanging on this cross. I'm enduring this pain and suffering. I'm giving up my life to pay for every sin that you have ever committed, also that you can be forgiven and dwell with me for all eternity in heaven. I love you, and so I am doing all of this for you. And so how could I? How could I do that? How could I hang on a cross? How could I endure that pain and suffering? How could I willingly give up my life? Those really aren't the questions that are on my mind. Instead, the question is, how could I not? How could I not hang on a cross for you? How could I not endure pain and suffering for you? How could I not give up my life for you? I love you, and so I will do whatever it takes to save you. And so, Father, dear Father, it is finished. I've done the work you have sent me to do. I've won forgiveness. I've saved your people. Father, dear Father, do not hold their sin against them, but lead them to repentance and cause them to amend their lives so that they may be forgiven of all their sins. Father, dear Father, accept my life as payment for all of their sins so that they can live for all eternity in heaven. Father, dear Father, do all these things for them because I have completed the work I was sent to do. I have become their Savior. I have won forgiveness. I have done it all. And so, Father, dear Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. We read about our Savior's burial. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Jesus took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own tomb that he had cut out of a rock. He rolled a large stone over the tomb's entrance and left. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which was the day of the day after the preparation day, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered in the presence of Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what the deceiver said when he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. So give a command that the tomb be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples might steal his body and tell the people he is risen from the dead. And this last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go, make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and posting a guard. The Gospel of our Lord.